Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Hello. Good morning. With that welcome, can we welcome our Jesus? Yes. Can we just say, Jesus, you're welcome. Jesus, you are welcome in our hearts. You're welcome in our lives. Jesus, you are welcome. Jesus, we open our hearts for you to come and talk, for you to come and break off, for you to come and inhabit us. Yes. Jesus, I thank you for who you are in this place, yes. Who you are in Kingdom of Faith. Yes. I thank you, Jesus, for that you are on the move and we want to move with you this morning. Jesus, you are love, you are life, you are freedom, you are faithful. Jesus, you are so, so good. Amen. 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 You can take a seat. The King of Glory is in this room. He is here. He is with you. He is in me. He is in you. He is here, the King of Glory. What better person can be here? You know, if the queen or the king comes in, Jesus is so much better. Amen. Jesus is so much greater. Jesus is so much wider, higher. You know, it's incredible that we are here to serve Jesus. Amen. And when we were worshiping, I just had a bit of a word, like, if you are tired of serving Jesus, get your strength back. Yeah. Get your strength back. Come before Jesus. Maybe you have been a Christian for a long time. This morning, Jesus wants to revive your heart. Yeah. Jesus wants to revive the love that he has for you. Yeah. He wants to revive the joy of serving him. Yeah. Serving him is so, so incredible. But if we serve by our own strength, with our own strength, it's tiring. Yeah. You get tired, you get weary, you get hurt, you get disappointed. But if you serve in Jesus' strength, if you serve with Jesus, if you serve the house, if you serve in your street, if you serve in your road, you know, with Jesus, it's a joy. Amen. With Amen. Jesus, serving is a joy. Amen. So, yes, as Pastor Clive was saying, I'm Andrea, and I have the privilege of being a part of Kingdom Faith in Worthing, with my husband Kai. We love serving Jesus. We love serving on our knees before Jesus. Jesus, what do you want us to do? How do you want your servants to look like in our street, in our neighborhood, in our town? So, such a privilege and a joy. And my husband is in Worthing at this point in time. He was nervous for me. I'm like, are you okay this morning? And I'm so nervous for you. I'm like, oh, bless you. Well, I'm nervous too. But that's the okay. And there we go. This morning, as Pastor Clive was already saying, have you said that? I can't remember. But we are going to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, we know what they are: love, joy, peace. But I'm gonna go in that in a minute. I wanna recap first. Yeah. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I was watching the message from last week about the Holy Spirit is not poured out to a few people, not just the people in the New Testament or the people in the Old Testament. He is poured out onto all flesh. Onto all flesh. He is poured out onto all flesh, on you, on the people next to us. He is poured out. And we're living in that time now where he is poured out onto us. What a privilege. Yes. What incredible that he didn't say, no, not on that person, not there. No, he's poured out on all flesh, all people. And we just want to move with him. I want to move with him. What he says, I want to do. What is on his heart, I want to do. Right. Yeah, I don't want to do what is on my heart. I want to do what he wants us and me to do. Yes. And another one was also, and we've been talking about this in wedding. It's so nice. Like, I know you come here in Horsham in the morning, but Crawley is meeting, Burgess Hill is meeting, and Worthing is meeting at the same time. And hello, everyone. If you're listening later or now, it's a privilege to do that all at the same time. And we have the same scriptures and we have the same things we talk about. And then you think later, oh, we talked about that when we listened to the stream. And oh, we talked about that. And that's just amazing that we are always on the same page and the same line, the same paragraph. We are all moving together as King of Faith, not separate, not one deal. It has different expressions, but we all moving together with the Spirit. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. And one of the scriptures was also, we've been hammering that into our people. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father and the sheep, they have a relationship. Yes. And without relationship, you do not know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Right. Without the voice of, without you spending time with Jesus, you do not know his voice. Sometimes we have a little bit of a voice, but the more you spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the more you get to know his voice, the more you get to know how he talks, how he walks, how his heart beats, what he wants you to do. And if we are not spending time with him, no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Jesus. But the more you spend time with him, the more you hear his voice. If we find it hard to spend time in his presence, don't give up. Keep going, because in that he talks, in that he walks. Get your Bible out, get his word out. That's where he talks. That is how he shares his passion with you and with us. Wow, beautiful. Amen. And today we will be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we will be focusing on love, joy, and peace. They're the first three. And I'm going to read Galatians 5, 22, 23, because it's actually in the Amplified. I think it comes up. If it doesn't, that's okay. The fruit of the Spirit, and I love what it says in the Amplified, the result of his presence within us.
That's right.
Wow, his presence isn't far away. Yes. It's not far to look for. It's not in the heavens. It's not like in a neighbor's house. No, the result of his presence within us, within you. Can you imagine? One of my scriptures I had this week was, God is within her.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Is within her. And I was standing up from waking up and I was like, the Holy Spirit is within me. Wow. What do I have to fear? What do I have to be afraid of? Because God is within me. I will not fall. Amen. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we go through life sometimes a bit, things are tricky, but God, the creator of the universe, it's within me. Wow. It's amazing. And I was so thankful that God gave me that scripture this week, because every time you wake up and something comes at your door, crouching at your door, you say, but God is within me. I will not fall, but God is within me. I will not fall. And when morning rises, it says, when God is my help, when the dawn awakes or something, and I was like, yes, every morning, God, you are within me. I will rise. I will not complain, but I will rise. Can you say to yourself, I will rise, because God is within me. Amen. Amen. What a privilege, what a joy, what a love. Wow. So Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to talk about the first three, love. Oh, I haven't actually finished that scripture. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us is love. Thank you, Jesus. Unselfish concern for others. Wow, think about that one. Unselfish concern for others. Joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. That's a good one. But I'm not going to talk about that today because it's really good, but that's next week or the week after. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Thank you, Jesus. So love, I just also want to say before I start with the love, love is so important. When we love, joy rises. Yes. When we know we are loved, joy is to see on our face. Yes. When we know that what I was just saying, that the God of the universe loves me, I can rejoice no matter what.
Amen.
And my heart is at rest and at peace because I know who loves me. I know there's someone who loves me. And that gives me safety. It gives me peace. It gives me rest. It gives me everything I need for life. When you know, and if you don't know in this place that God loves you, I just want to say to you, He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. If you're doubting, and I speak to the doubting heart, God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. He loves you. And sometimes in life, you don't feel like you're loved, but you come back to the Bible, and it says in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. What does remain in my love mean? Yeah. Means remain in His presence, remain and abide in Him. It's our choice to go and spend time with the Father. Yes, He loves you anyways. It doesn't matter. But by spending, remaining in His love, remaining in His truth, and that is what it says here. If you keep my commands, you need to know His commands. We need to know what He says about us. You need to know what His truth is about you, about His love. You need to know that. How to get to know that is by spending time with Him, by sitting at His feet, receiving His love, receiving His life. And by keeping, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. And then in verse 13, and this is a challenge. Love is wonderful and it's beautiful, but it also costs.
That's right.
It's also done with sacrifice. When we know the sacrifice that Jesus has given to us, it was His body. It was who He was. The King of Kings came down to be here on the earth. He laid down His throne. He laid down. It was all still within Him. He never stepped away from that. But He came to live down here with us. And it says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this. Can you just think about that? About Jesus and the cross is over there. Greater love. Greater love has no one than this. And because He laid down, Jesus laid down His life for His friends, for the world. Amen. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. His Son surrendered His life. His Son, Jesus, surrendered Himself so that we, you and I, can live in that love, that incredible love.
Amen.
Laying down your life sometimes costs you.
Yes.
Laying down your life comes with sacrifices. It comes with, no, I'm not going to pursue that house. I'm not going to pursue that job. I'm not going to do this or that. Laying down your life is sometimes very painful. And it is not popular. It's not nice. It is in the end, it's nice. But at the moment, it doesn't feel nice to sometimes to lay down the things you love. Sometimes Jesus can whisper in your ear and say, you know what? Sell that car. Do that thing that you so much love. Just give it to someone else. Give that tenor. Give that gift. It's a sacrificial love. But what a beauty, because that's where he works. When we sacrifice our lives, when we sacrifice the things that are important to us, but we give it to the one who's most important, that's then where he works. I want to be this altar for Jesus.
Amen.
Where everything in my life is not my own.
Amen.
Where everything in my life is not, I'm not holding on to. And how do we live in life? How do we love? You know, we can be hurt by love, by loving others. Jesus never said in this life, if we're all beautiful and all wonderful and all clean and nothing will happen. Has he said that? No, he won't. He didn't say that. He never said that. You will have trouble.
That's right.
But you know what? How do we carry trouble? How do we walk in love? You know, when you get hurt, and you know, one of the most, for me, my most beautiful story is how I came to know Jesus in a loving way. And that was around 13 years ago, where a family didn't know me. I didn't know the language. I'm from the Netherlands, if you didn't know. I didn't know the language. But you know, there was a family here in England, in Lincolnshire, who loved me. It didn't matter how I looked like. It didn't matter what I sounded like, because I couldn't speak any English. And I was like, are you okay? I couldn't answer because I didn't know. But they loved me. Love goes beyond the language. Love goes beyond how we look like. Love goes beyond all those things. And you know, and the most powerful thing was I sat at the dinner table. We ate together. We loved one another. And when I came there, I was a broken person. There was so much in my life happened, and it was really hard. Yeah, this is too long of a story to say. I came there as a broken bird, like a little one. And you know, that family loved me. Love is powerful. Yes. But they laid down their lives for me.
Yeah.
You know, that dinner time, I was at the table. They couldn't have not secret conversation, like individual confidential conversation. It was always, I was there at the table, but I was loved. That's how I changed. Because Jesus' love was working through them into my heart. And I just want to actually challenge you. Who do you see is alone around you? Who is the one who needs a home? I'm not saying invite them and let them stay at your house. That's what I did then. But invite a lonely person at your dinner table. It says in the Psalms, he sets the lonelies in families.
That's right.
And if you have a dinner table, if you have a roof, doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small, bring the lonely people in.
Yes.
It's a privilege. It's hard work sometimes, but it's beautiful. That's how my life started to change. And I also actually, I wanted to talk also with this section of love. It's a very worldly thing, Valentine's Day. We talked about a little bit about it in the prayer meeting. You know, and I just want to talk to those that do not have someone. I'm married. I'm so privileged I'm married. But I was for a long time. I was single. I was for a long time without anyone. And I just wanted, and I know that Valentine's Day was so awkward when I was single. Because in whatever shop you go to, wherever you walk to, it's all about love. And you're like, but who's loving me? What? Where is the one that says to me, I've picked you, I've chosen you? Maybe you felt like that on Valentine's Day, where you felt actually alone and isolated. And like, who is the one? And maybe you're widowed. You've lost your spouse, your husband. What a pain that is. Ouch. But also as a single person, and maybe if you're a bit older, if you're younger, it doesn't matter. You live with this sense of, who do I belong to? And it's okay to think like that. I just wanted to say that it's an ouch and it hurts and it's awkward, especially on that day. But you know, I know, and it is not fun, but Jesus wants to come right there in that place.
Amen.
He wants to come right in that place where you feel like, to who do I belong? Who is the one who comes after me when I'm lost? Who is the one who chases after me when I don't know the way? Yeah. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. And I'm not saying this because it's the spiritual answer. I know it myself because I've done it. I've been through it and it was hard. It was crushing. But you know what? The someone in my life is Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the someone in your life is Jesus. He picks you. He chose you.
Amen.
He is the one who looks after you. He is the one who gives you practical help.
Amen.
Do not think that you are excluded from love. Do not think that you are excluded from that redemptive, restorative love, because He is the one who fulfills your desire.
Amen.
He is the one who loves you unconditionally, no matter what you're going through. If your spouse has just walked away, if you've just walked away yourself, Jesus is your love.
Amen.
Ultimate love.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share that to you because hurt, it can be in there. But Jesus wants to fill it with His gentle, beautiful, kind, unfailing love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. With love also goes forgiveness.
Yes.
I know I'm going to quite hang on this one, on love, but forgiveness. Wow. That's quite a subject. When we know how much Jesus loves us, we know how much He also has forgiven us.
Amen.
I've done so many things wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. You know?
Yeah.
Do we all know that?
Yes, yes, yes.
But you know what? Sometimes in our lives we can hold on to unforgiveness.
Yeah.
We can hold on even 20 years later.
Yeah.
You still react to that situation. You still can react on something that has happened and that should never have happened to you. And we can still hold on to that unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And I was in my life, and there was a point where I was on the street and people look at me and they shouted at me, and there were things said over my life that I believed. And I had to forgive, but I didn't forgive for, I was 8 years, 10 years. I held on to unforgiveness for a long time. And it was crippling me. It was hurting me every day. I wouldn't say every day like I was having it in my head, but a situation came up and I heard that voice in my head, you're rubbish, you can't do this. Because of what that person said.
Yeah.
And when you not forgive, when unforgiveness stays in your heart, it stays a wound.
Yes.
It stays a wound.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how bad it was. And it can be really bad. It can be abuse. It can be things that never, ever, ever, ever should have happened to you. But you know, there is the love of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And even right now, if you feel the tears coming up in your heart and in your eyes, just let the love of Jesus just flow.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
And maybe you've forgiven that person or that situation once, But you have to do it over and over again, not just in your head, but out loud. Because when you keep it in your head, it stays in your head. But when you bring things to the light, it stays in the light and it cannot affect you any longer. You do not deserve to live under people's words or under people's deeds, what they have done to you. You are bigger than that. You are bigger than that. And on my heart cries for you. If you live with unforgiveness, I am so sorry. It's horrible, but rise above it. Yes. Receive the Father's love. Receive the love that Jesus has poured out on the cross.
Yes.
And lives now within us in the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit. Receive forgiveness.
Amen.
Receive forgiveness. It's a choice to your parents, to your spouses, to your friends. It's a choice.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But it's so important.
Yes.
So important. I can get on to this one a little bit longer, but I'm going to move to the next one. It's quite this one, what we just talked about, I'm sorry, it's a bit. But when you know that you are loved, joy.
Yes.
Joy.
Yes.
And you are loved, and joy just wants to come out.
Yeah.
When you know that you are loved. In one of the Psalms, it says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is fullness of joy. In his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hold on, I just need to. Yeah. Your joy, our joy, comes from Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't come from things we achieve, really important. It doesn't come from position. It doesn't come from a bank account. Joy comes from Jesus Christ alone. It also doesn't come from the things you do not have. It doesn't come from anything. The source of joy comes from being united with Jesus, knowing that you are loved. And I wanted to do this, make a joyful noise. Can we, as a people, make a joyful noise? I would like all of us actually to stand up.
Yeah.
And I just want you to make a joyful noise.
Yes.
Just make a joyful noise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Rada, rede. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A joyful noise. A joyful. It isn't a sad face. You can sit down again. It's a joy that brightens darkness. It's a joy that pushes away darkness. It's a joy that is just, you can't help but overflow. We are anointed. You are anointed by the oil of gladness, by the oil of joy, by the oil of gladness. Jesus was anointed by God with the oil of gladness above his friends, above his companions, his fellows, that is very English, fellows, above his fellows. That's funny. Above his fellows, yes. He was anointed by God above. So you are anointed. You've got that anointing upon you. And then I was actually researching this one. When you oil something, you know, we have at home those cutting boards, and some are very good, but some are just a bit wood, and you need to oil them. You need to get your olive oil out, you need to rub it in, you need to dry it, you need to rub it in, and you need to dry it. You know, we all know probably what that is. That's the same with Jesus. He wants to rub in the oil of joy in your heart.
Yeah.
Where does that happen? In his presence.
Yes.
That happens by spending time with him, by being in his presence. His oil, he wants to rub on you. He doesn't want you to stay timid or quiet. He wants the He wants that oil and that joy to be just rubbing into you. And I just felt when also was I was praying for this morning, He wants to restore the joy of our salvation. You know, He wants to restore your joy. He wants to restore the joy of being loved. You know, and He wants to cut off familiarity. He wants to cut off the thing that you're used to. And He wants to restore that oil in your life, that joy in your life of being His child. Maybe you have just become a Christian. Maybe you've like 20 years already a Christian. Maybe 40 years, 50 years. I don't know. Sometimes it can feel a bit, oh, I know that scripture. I know this. I've heard this. But you know, God wants to shake that familiarity, that the thing that you know, and He wants to restore joy, joy, joy. And I speak over us as King of Faith that we are a people of joy, that we are a people of life, and that we are not sitting timid in our chairs, but that we are a people of joy that spreads, because the world needs to know the joy of the Lord. There is so many things out there that can destroy joy, that is destroying, that is destructive. But we have got the light of life within us that is fullness of joy, and the world needs to know that. If you have lost your joy, if you have lost that joy or happiness comes from outside, joy comes from within. Amen. We know that one, don't we? But if you've lost that, if you've lost that, you can check it in your heart. Jesus, is that joy still burning in me like a flame that is, that fire that cannot be contained? Do I spill out of my heart positivity? Do I spill out of my heart negativity? What is coming out of my mouth? Yes. That is the joy. Is it not? Is it happy? I don't want to say happy. Is it joy? You know, what comes out of my heart, out of your mouth, that's what's in your heart.
That's right.
It's so true. What is in your heart? You can mask it for a while to other people, but Jesus knows your heart. You can put a smile on your face. You know when it's real or when it's not.
That's right.
I know when it's real or when it's not. Yes. We are not here to fake the gospel.
That's right.
We are not here to fake joy or to live with a fake smile on our face. Yeah. If you've lost that joy of knowing Him and knowing that you are His child, if you've lost that, restoration is here today.
Amen.
Restoration of being His. It's here today. Wow.
Amen.
Do you want to be a people of joy?
Yes,
we all want to be a people of joy. Now, I don't know even what time I should finish. No one has actually told me. So I do 11:30. We also want to take communion. So I also just want to go to this one and then I go to peace. I was talking, well, I've been a bit on a journey with being rejoicing, but I've also been on a journey with surrender. And then I clicked those two together. Mm-hmm. Joyful surrender.
Yeah.
Oof. Do we like surrender? We like to be joyful. But what about joyful surrender? And all our hearts go, oh. But you know, He wants us to live a life of surrender,
yeah,
and joy will overflow.
Amen. Amen.
If we live in our lives like this and we don't surrender our things to Jesus, then joy is not going to last for a long time. Because we're going to do it ourselves. Jesus is our joy. And when we surrender our lives, surrender our beings to Him, it's a joyful surrender.
Amen.
I'm going to keep it there because there's so much to say on that one. Peace. And it is, again, it's so connected with love, joy, peace. It's all interlinked. One doesn't go without the other. it just is all interlinked. And it says in John 14, actually, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Importance. I do not give to you as the world gives. Where is the world? It's on the doorstep. It's when we go out. It's maybe even in your house. Maybe you are living with people that do not know Jesus. But the peace doesn't come from the world. And I also, when I was praying for this, I really felt there are so many distractions to stay in a place of peace. One distraction that I find, a thing that I think can give peace is, what about I just scroll on Facebook or TikTok or, you know, social media, your phone. Yeah. So many things are on our phone. Yeah. The world is on our phone. It's visible. It's there. And that will not give you peace. The TV does not give you peace. Social media does not give you peace. If you relax at home, and sometimes it's okay to, you know, like it's mid measures always. How is social media in our lives? Our peace doesn't come from that. It feels good and it's nice and it's chill to watch a movie. Nothing wrong with a movie, just to say. But it is, does our peace come from that? You know, do we find peace and just watch one program after the other, after the other, after the other. Our peace doesn't come from that. But it says, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world give. Fight for peace. You know, there is so much fight in the world, wars, things that are going on, and our hearts are, it's easily for our hearts to get disturbed and worried. And hurt because of what's going on in the world. But we all need to fight for our own peace. Right. You know, you need to guard your peace. You need to guard your heart. We need to guard our hearts because peace is nowhere to found in the world other than those that are loving Jesus, other than those that are walking in his peace. Peace doesn't come from the outside. It comes from within us. The peace, the word peace is translated in the Hebrew, shalom, completeness. And I speak that actually over us as a people. If you are not feeling at ease or at peace, you're feeling out of kilter. There is a Jesus that wants to give you peace in your turmoil, in your worry. That peace is completeness. I speak completeness over you. A soundness over your mind. How many times can our mind be in turmoil? How many times can our mind be so afraid, anxious? But Jesus is your peace. He is the completeness, soundness of mind. He is your safety. He's your prosperity. Yes. He wants it to be well with your soul. Right. He wants you to be well. He doesn't want you to be living in discontentment or dissatisfaction or discouragement. He wants you to be well. He wants his servants to be well. One more story I'm going to read and then I'm going to finish soon. Jesus was with his disciples, and it's Mark 4, and he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So leaving the crowd, they took him with them just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him, and a fierce windstorm. Can you imagine? As a disciple, you're in this boat and you suddenly see those clouds and you're like, oh my goodness, these clouds are gonna bring us a storm. And you know what? It was bringing a windstorm. The wind began to blow. Waves were breaking over the boats so that it was already being swamped. Jesus was in the stern asleep with his head on the sailor's leather cushion. They woke him. "Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be still." The wind died down. And there was a great, calm, perfect peacefulness. You have the strength. Well, sometimes a storm is raging. But we all have been given the authority to rebuke, to say no, say no further. Enough is enough. My peace I will keep. And the peace, Jesus, you have given me, I will not let it go.
Amen.
Hold on to peace. Fight for peace. It's such an easy thing to get worried. Also for parents, I was praying and I felt some of us parents are worried for your child. And you're like, I want to protect them. I want to keep them from the storm. I want to keep them from what's happening. Maybe your child is saved, is not saved. I don't know. But Jesus said, be still. And I speak to those hearts that are worried for their child, that are anxious because the child are making decisions that they shouldn't be making. Be still.
Amen.
Peace over your heart. Maybe it's not a child. Maybe it's someone you're praying for. Don't try to fix someone else's storm. Pray for the peace within the storm. Guard your peace. Guard your heart. Guard yourself in the storm. And as your storm is raging, find the peace. Fight for the peace. Because Jesus wants to bring you and lead you into the peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule. Rule.
Amen.
He is our ruler and reigner. He is the Prince of Peace.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants us to enter His peace.
Right.
I'm going to stop with that. I have a bit more, but I will stop with that. We want to take communion. And when I was praying for this, I'm so thankful that we are part of Jesus' body, because Jesus gave His body for us so that we may enter His love, His joy, and His peace, and all the other things. But we're going to focus. We have focus on love, joy, and peace. And when on the night He was betrayed, He knew that He was going to be betrayed. Being betrayed, He knew it. But He still gave thanks. And that is one of the most important things, to keep your heart, to keep a thankful heart, no matter what you are going through. And in a minute, I will pray, but in a minute, I would like you to go to a table, and those tables have been kind of called a name. On the left, it's forgiveness. And I felt that forgiveness is at the cross. Like, if you have someone that you need to forgive, if you need to forgive yourself, if there's an issue or a challenge for you, forgiveness, that's where the cross comes. Jesus died. He forgave. And if you want to take a hold of His forgiveness, go to that table. Over there, I think is love, that the table is called love. If you need to receive His love, if you need to, whatever we've been talking about, take it from that side. And I think joy is over this way. If you have lost your joy, He wants to restore the joy back, and just take it with you to your chair again. Or maybe you can pray with people. It doesn't really matter. But just receive His joy. It all happened at the cross. And over there is peace. So in a minute, Lionel, you're somewhere. He's just going to play and I'm going to pray. Well, that rhymes, doesn't it? Just ask Jesus to show you what it is that He wants to either bring back in your life, that you need to apply to others. What is it? It doesn't also just have to be for yourself. There's a situation that you see someone else is going through. Where you can take communion for them. But think about your own heart. Because He wants to break through with His love. Break off things that have been hindering, because He wants you to dance in life. He wants you to love with His love. He wants you to rejoice with the sound of heaven. He wants you to be in peace, not to be caught up in the storm. And it was all found at the cross. And I'm just going to read and pray what Jesus said on the night that He was betrayed. Wow, Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This represents my body, which is offered to you as a sacrifice. Do this in remembrance of me. And then He took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for the sacrifice that you've paid, given willingly. And we want to remember that. We also want to rejoice in that. We want to thank you for that. When Lionel is playing and I will stop talking in a minute, just go to the table. You can receive it yourself. Take the cup and the bread and go back to your chair and receive. If you feel like you need to pray with someone or take it together because you've both chosen the same, pray together, bless one another. He wants to do something in your heart. And if you do not know Jesus and you do not know what this is about, you can ask your neighbor, I don't know what to do. Or you can come down the front and you can talk to me or Pastor Clive or others who will help you. Jesus is for you. If you're prodigal, you've run back, and you're here for the first time again since months or years. Maybe you're listening on the stream online and you just came here to just by accident. It wasn't an accident. Or maybe you can take communion in your room where you are. Just receive the love, the joy, the peace, forgiveness that He has for you. Amen. Feel free to go and get it from the tables.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.